Parshas Vayigash, and this is perhaps one of the most moving parashias in the Torah in terms of the reunion of Yosef with his brothers, his revelation of who he was really their brother, their reunion, and then also the ultimate reunion with Yaakov and Yosef, and Binyamin as well, but the episode of Yaakov having not seen his son for 22 years, the joy and the jubilation that he experiences of being able to be reunited with his son and Yosef as well. And there are so many parts to this, and it's such a moving, you read through the Pesukim, it's so moving, and especially the moment when they actually meet each other, and the joy and there's just the pure joy they're experiencing of seeing each other. And then also in the midst of that moment, when Yaakov sees Yosef, his son, after all these years, and Yosef throws himself upon Yaakov, his father, to embrace him and to hug him, Yaakov, on the other hand, is saying the Shema. He's reciting the Shema at that time. Teaches this most powerful, powerful lesson that the greatest love that a human being is obligated to adopt is not the love of another human being, but the love of Hashem. It's such a powerful illustration of the idea of love of Hashem surpasses the love of any human being. And that's an idea that perhaps a lot of people have some difficulty embracing, but it's a fact, it's a reality. It doesn't say in the Torah to love your neighbor with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. It says that about love of Hashem, because the greatest love has to be for Hashem. And we know so many ramifications of this in terms of the Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice, the sacrifice we have to undertake for the sake of serving Hashem, doing for Hashem, living a life of truth, living a life of Torah, Avraham Avinu, Akedas Yitzchak, sacrificing a son for the sake of Hashem. And this is repeated over and over again, so many examples of it. But here's an example too of Yaakov saying the Shema and redirecting that joy and that energy towards Hashem before he actually engages in that embrace of his son that he loved so much. And that was that moment. Before they actually met, before Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, and when the brothers had come back to report back to the father that Yosef was really alive and that he's inviting us all to come down and to live in Mitzrayim. So that prospect for Yaakov was tremendous. It was a tremendous prospect. It was his life dream to be able to see him again. But in the midst of that joy and that optimism of being able to see his son and for the whole family to be together, he was also afraid as well. He was also afraid, as the Pasuk says. This is in Perek, this is chapter 46, Pasuk Beis and Gimel. It's actually just go from the beginning of chapter 46. It says that Yisi Yisrael v'kol ha'shalov yovah beis. So Yaakov went to Beersheva before he actually began the journey down to Mitzrayim. He went to Beersheva to pray to Hashem to bring a sacrifice. And the Yomer Elokim LiYisrael, and that's where Hashem spoke to Yaakov. And he said to him, Yaakov, Yaakov, the Yomer Hineni, he said, here I am. So this is the conversation, so to speak, that takes place between Hashem and Yaakov before Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim. And then it says, the Yomer, he said to him, Anochi Kel Elokei Avicha. He said, I'm Hashem, your God. Al tira, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of Merdu Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. Because Yaakov was really afraid. He was afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. And as much as he was obviously joyful of being able to be reunited with his son, he also had a fear as well. And the Zohar and the commentators say the reason why he was fearful, understandably, Mitzrayim was not a holy place. It wasn't a place of sanctity and holiness. It was a place of idolatry, of immorality and impurity. It was a cesspit of spiritual impurity. It was not a safe place to be. Spiritually, it was not a safe place to be. And he was afraid. Yaakov was afraid to go down there. He was afraid what was going to happen, maybe not to himself, but to his children, to his descendants. This is where we're going to be. This is where the Jewish people and my family are going to spend years, decades, centuries inside this very immoral environment. He was afraid. So Hashem said to him, don't be afraid. Al tira merdu Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. Don't be fearful of this. Ki lagoy god la simcha sham, because contrary to what you may think, I'm going to make you into a great nation over there. That's where you're going to become a great nation. Sham, over there, in that darkest of places, that's where you're going to become a great nation. Anoche eired imcha, I will go down with you, Mitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Va'anochi alcha gam alo. And I'm also going to take you out. I'm also going to come out with you from Mitzrayim. For Yosef Yoshes Yodo al Inecha, and Yosef will put his hands upon your eyes. Yosef will put his hands upon your eyes. I'll come back to this phrase afterwards, but a simple understanding of it is that don't worry, you're not going to outlive your son Yosef. Yosef is alive, he's in Mitzrayim. This that you've been afraid that he's passed away, he's dead already. No, he's alive and well. And he's going to outlive you, and he's going to put his hands upon your eyes, as is the custom when a person is passing away, to close the nifter's eyes when the person passes away. Their eyes should be shut on their deathbed when they pass away. And Yosef will do that, and therefore he's going to outlive you. You're not going to outlive him. It was a promise of consolation and hope to Yaakov that he was giving. And with that, Yaakov is consoled, he's reassured, he's confident, he feels safe that he's going to go down to Mitzrayim. So this is the few psukim over here. So the statement, now there's a lot of discussion on this, different aspects of it, but when it says that I'm going to go, when Hashem says to Yaakov, I'm going to go down with you, I'm going to descend with you to Egypt, and I'll also surely bring you up. So it seems like a pretty simple statement. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to bring you up. Well, what's so sensational about that statement? Yeah, Hashem is with us everywhere. Well, it's not so simple. And this is the question of the Or HaChaim, one of the commentators. He says, what does it mean that I'm going to go down with you? That's the Shekhinah, the divine presence. The divine presence is going to go down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. Don't worry, my presence will be with you. The problem with that is that there's a well-known medrash that says that in Mitzrayim there was no Shekhinah. The Shekhinah did not reside in Mitzrayim. There was no Shekhinah in Mitzrayim because of the impurity of the place, because of the decadence and the idolatry of Mitzrayim. The Shekhinah could not tolerate, so to speak, to be down there. And this is why later on we get to Sefer Shmos, when Moshe has Nevuah and has conversations with Hashem, Moshe has to leave the city to go out of the where they were in order to be able to receive Nevuah to Goshen or to other places outside of the main area of Mitzrayim, because it was impossible for there to be such a presence of Hashem in such an impure place. So that's the principle, that the Shekhinah is not in Mitzrayim. So what does Hashem mean to say to Yaakov, I'm going to go down with you, I'm going to be there with you. My Shekhinah, my presence is going to be down there with you. This is the Or HaChaim's question. So one answer he gives is, indeed, yeah, there is no Shekhinah in Mitzrayim. There is no Shekhinah in Mitzrayim. By the way, let me just explain to you what Shekhinah is. It's a common word, Shekhinah, divine presence. So there's Hashem and then there's the divine presence. What does that mean? So the basic idea of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is, I saw this quoted by the Noda B'Yehuda, based upon the Rambam, the Mor HaNevuchim, and says that there are basically two dimensions of the Shekhinah, the divine presence. One is an actual physical light, an actual created light, which emanates from a presence of Hashem in a particular location. And that's why in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, there was an actual light, a radiant light, which came out of the Mishkan. So that's one aspect. And also Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, there was actual light. There was an actual created light, which is created as by the presence of Hashem's presence being there. And that's something which is very not familiar to any of us. But the other dimension of the Shekhinah is God's guidance, Hashem's guidance. There's a greater presence. There's just a greater presence of Him being there and facilitating guidance and hashkacha and guidance in our life. That's the concept of the Shekhinah. So we say that the Shekhinah is there, is here, is a particular, in a location, on a person, on a particular thing. It means that there's a certain guidance, divine guidance, which is being afforded to that individual in that time. That's what it means, the Shekhinah. So when the Medrash says that the Shekhinah was not in Mitzrayim. It was really blocked. It was a place which was blocked from divine guidance. And therefore, when Hashem says to Yaakov, don't worry, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim, my Shekhinah is going to be down there with you, it's a bit troubling to the Or HaChaim, a bit troubling. So he says, the Or HaChaim says, that the answer is, what it means, what Hashem means over here, is not that the Shekhinah is going to be there, but he's going to be there, so to speak, in the heavens. Ima Onochi Betzara, I'll be there with you with your distress and your difficulties and your hardships. Not that you're going to necessarily feel my presence being there, but know that I'm behind the scenes. Know that I'm feeling for your pain. Know that I'm really experiencing the suffering and the pain and the difficulty that you may enjoy over there. And that's also a solace. When you know that somebody is aware and conscious and cognizant of your difficulties, it's comforting. There's a certain solace and tranquility with that. That's the idea of Imo Enochi Betzara. I'm there with you in your. I can't necessarily help you out in the situation. I can't guide you. I can't lead you out of the situation. But Imo Enochi Betzara, I'm there with you in your pain. Right? A problem shared is a problem halved, as they say. But when someone is hearing your pain and suffering, there's a certain alleviation of the difficulty as a result of that. And that's what Hashem was saying, I'm going to be there with you. My Shekhinah may not be there, but I'll be there with you. That's one answer he gives. That's one answer that he gives. But then he comes back and he says, not necessarily true that the Shekhinah is not in Mitzrayim, because he goes on to bring all these different sources that say that Shekhinah is in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says in Megillah that the Shekhinah was exiled to Mitzrayim as well. So because of these challenges that he finds in the Midrashim, where essentially there's conflicting Midrashim, some say the Shekhinah was not in Mitzrayim, some say the Shekhinah was in Mitzrayim, so it sounds like a bit of a confusion, but he eventually says the following. He says that the Shekhinah manifests itself in many different levels, right? There are different levels of Shekhinah. There's a real intense manifestation of Shekhinah, and then there's a very, 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 very diluted level of Shekhinah which manifests itself even in darkest of places. So, for example, just to clarify this, it's just an interesting idea, right? That the most intense manifestation of the Shekhinah that ever existed was Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. Another really intense manifestation of the Shekhinah was in the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is an extension of Har Sinai. But then it says in Pirkei Avos, that when 10 Jews study Torah together, there's a very intense manifestation of the Shekhinah. Now, I don't know if the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, if Pirkei Avos was considering Zoom or not. I don't know if it works with Zoom. I mean, there's more than 10 people sitting over here. So is the Shekhinah over here? So I don't know. That's an interesting question, right? But if we're all sitting in person, that's why really, you know, I invite you, come on Sunday mornings. That's when we have an in-person class. It's a lot of fun. You also get the food as well, right? But there's no question when you have people physically in the same proximity of each other, no question the Shekhinah is present in that situation. The Beis Din, when a Beis Din sits, the Shekhinah is there as well. So these are all examples. But then the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos also that even if two people or one person is learning by himself, also there's a Shekhinah, but it's a much lower level. It's a much more diluted manifestation of the Shekhinah. So says the Or HaChaim that when Hashem told Yaakov, I'm going to go down with you, it means I'm going to go down with you and my very, very, very diluted presence of Shekhinah will be there. So don't worry, don't be afraid. You know, I will be there, but on a diluted level, on a diluted level, because after all, Mitzrayim is a place of idolatry, of immorality. For there to be a full-blown manifestation of the Shekhinah, impossible. That can't happen in Mitzrayim. But I'll be there, at least on a diluted level, and therefore don't be afraid. So that's what the Or HaChaim says. So comes along the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonim HaRebbe, and he says, you know, I want to suggest another understanding of the Pasuk. Notwithstanding what the Or HaChaim says, that there's only a diluted manifestation of the Shekhinah. So he says, I'm going to say that there's not just a diluted manifestation of the Shekhinah, but there's a full-blown, full, most elevated level of Shekhinah, even in Mitzrayim, but on one occasion only. And that's not throughout the entire journey of the Jewish people being in the entire sojourn of the Jewish people being in Mitzrayim. He says, only at the very, 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 very end. At the very, very end, when the Jewish people are about to leave Mitzrayim, that's when there's going to be a full-blown manifestation of Shekhinah that's on the level of even Har Sinai. And that's actually, we all say this every year in the Haggadah, that we say that on the night of Makkos Bechoros, on the night of the Exodus, when Hashem's presence came in, it was me, not a malach, me, not an angel, not a seraph, that performs Makkos Bechoros. There's an open revelation. We all read about this in the Seder. So there you have it. I mean, that says, even Mitzrayim, even in this putrid place of immorality and idolatry, on the night of Pesach, on the night of Makkos Bechoros, there's a full manifestation of the Shekhinah, which then takes the Jewish people out, which is paradoxical because this is the moment when the Jewish people are on the Memtes Shari Tuma, right? That's a well-known concept that the Jewish people descended down to the 49th level of spiritual impurity themselves. They were so affected by the milieu of Mitzrayim. They were affected. They went down. And it was only because Hashem came down, swooped down to take them out. At that point, that's when it came out and they were saved. They were saved from going down to the 50th level of spiritual impurity. And in that moment, that's when the Hashem's presence is so manifest and so bright and so full-blown, which is astonishing. But that's what the Pasuk is saying. And that's what the Nesiv HaShalom says, that there will be a time when my presence will be so manifest and so intense at that last moment. At that last moment when the Jewish people are about to be lost, at that moment, my presence will be fully there and save them. I will go down with you and take you out. Now, the going down, he says, the going down is like going down into that pit, going down into the pit and take the Jewish people out of there. He says, for example, like a king who wears beautiful regalia, who would never even imagine getting his regalia and his garments dirty and sullied. A king, monarchy, a king would not do that. But if his son, if his precious child is down inside a pit and is a filthy, dirty pit, and the only way to save him is for him to go down there and to take him out, then he'll do that even if his garments are going to get dirty. And that's the same thing with Hashem in Mitzrayim, that even though the Jewish people have sunk down, or even though they're in a place of immorality, but because they've sunk down and it's the last chance to save them, so Hashem, so to speak, comes down and he presents himself fully present in front of the Jewish people and swipes them out and takes them out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's a full manifestation of the divine presence, but only in that last moment. Only in that last moment. Paradoxically, in the worst, most difficult, darkest moments, that's when the divine presence suddenly manifests itself in such an overt fashion. It's a remarkable thing. It's just a beautiful idea. And, you know, it's not just it's something which he quotes over here, Pasuk. It's such a beautiful Pasuk. I never even thought about it before. It's in Tehillim. This Pasuk in Tehillim, it's in chapter 139, Pasuk 8. It says, Im Esak Shemayim, Shom Ota. If I go up, David HaMelech says, if I rise up, if I ascend to the heavens, then yes, you are there. Of course, Hashem's in the heavens. If I ascend to the heavens, there you will be. V'atziya Sha'ol. But even if I make my bed in the depths, Hineka, you're still there as well. You're still there as well. No matter where I go, you're always there. Now, this does not mean to say a person should just go ahead and walk into the depths and go to bad places. But it's such a principle. It's such a principle that a person has to know that no matter where they find themselves to be, Hineka, you will be there. You will be there. In that darkest times when all hope perhaps is lost and you feel so distraught and so despair, full of despair, it's not true that Hashem could not be there. Obviously, you have to capture that moment even then as well. But David HaMelech is saying, even if I sink down to the deepest depths, there's still the potential for you to be there in the full force as you are, obviously, in the Shemaim as well. And that's what Hashem is saying to Yaakov. You don't need to come up. You don't need to say that his presence in Mitzrayim was merely, I'm sharing in your distress, like the Or HaChaim says. You don't need to say that his presence in Mitzrayim was a diluted form of presence, like the Or HaChaim says. You can say that it means that I will be there in full force, in full manifestation, not throughout the entire sojourn in Mitzrayim, but I'll be there in the darkest time when you think all hope is lost and there's no chance of survival and there's no chance of redemption and you're down there in the pits and I'm a king, I'm such a august king with my regalia and you think that I'm not going to come down to you. I will come down to you. I will descend down into that dark place and swipe you out of there and take you out of there. And it's there. It's actually at that moment that Pasuk says, over here in this promise, and they'll make you into a great nation. That moment is when they became a great nation. They didn't become a great nation in the months or the years prior to that. They were forged into becoming a great nation in that instant of Hashem's coming down to take them out. And it's, you know, again, a very important thing to remember. The Jewish people upon their Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were not on this Madrega, this lofty, lofty level. I mean, obviously, compared to us, you know, we have to recognize that we're in a different generation, different period. So comparatively speaking, much greater level than we are today. But vis-a-vis what their potential was, they were not on that level yet. It took them the days of traveling, of walking to Har Sinai to raise themselves up. But at the moment of the actual departure of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were on the brink of extinction. But therein, that precise moment, the Pasuk says, I'll make you into a goy gadol, into a great nation. At that moment, at that darkest time, when this full presence of the divine presence of the Shekhinah is manifest in that moment over there. And this is the this concept is really, you know, again, this Pasuk in Tehillim, very, very moving to always remember that no matter where a person finds themselves to be, there is always that potential of the Shekhinah being there to guide us. And if the Shekhinah means it's not only a physical manifestation of light, but more importantly for us, our practical experience, it's the divine guidance which is there for us in that process. And it's knowing that we have that connection. You know, this is so, everything always boils down to understanding and realizing that we have the potential to be connected to Hashem. You know, that's the tachlis of it all. The tachlis of life is to be connected. You know, I was talking to someone this week. I was learning something with them, and it was I thought it was really inspirational. I really like what I was learning, you know. And I said, "Wow!" And I finished learning it, and he said, and the person responded, "Yeah, very interesting." So I said, "No, it's not interesting. It's inspirational because interesting is the brain, right? Interesting is the brain. Inspirational is it's in our hearts, it's in our behavior, it's in our actions." It's bringing Hashem into our life. It's not just keeping Hashem in the brain. It's bringing Hashem into my heart and into my emotions as well. That's the potential of our relationship, to be able to bring Him in. It also goes back to Chanukah as well. We spoke about this. The Chanukah is all about that there is a flow from the Holy of Holies into the rest of the Heichal, into the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a flow. There's not a separation like the Yevonim wanted to make us believe, that there's a separation between spirituality and our lives, and there's no way to bring spirituality and Kedusha into our lives, right? We don't believe that. We obviously believe that we can be moved. We are connected. We can bring a connection of Hashem into our life. So the Slonim Rebbe says also, he says that the Pasuk, the first Pasuk of the Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Beautiful idea. Listen to this. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. In that is two fundamental principles, two equally fundamental principles. Anochi Hashem is number one. I am Hashem. That's believing in Hashem. That's belief in God. Elokecha, your God. We have a relationship. We have a connection. There is a connection between the two of us. If all it was just, yes, there's a creator and there's a God out there that made this universe, it would suffice to say, Anochi Hashem. By saying those words, Elokecha, I am your God. I am your God. I have a relationship with you, and you have a relationship with me. I care about you. I care about you. You're my child. You're my relative. You're my close relative. You're my child. You're my b'nei. B'nei b'chori, we say in the pasuk. Hashem says, b'nei b'chori, my firstborn child. We have a relation. There's a connection. Elokecha. I'm your God. There's a connection. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And no matter where a person finds themselves to be, like it says in Tehillim, I'll rise to the heavens. Yes, you'll surely be there. But even if I'll be down, Atzia Sha'ol, I'll make my bed in the depths of Hinaka, you're there as well. Hashem is always there if we just reach out to him. Hashem is always there no matter what. I want to read to you the last paragraph of his piece over here because just his words are better than my words. He says that the Torah is eternal. The Torah is an eternal document. For Haftacha, it's a promise forever. You know, I want to just rewind the tape. There's one more thing before I read this last part over here. Just one more thing. The part of the promise, right, that Hashem gave to Yaakov, right, was I'm going to go be there with you, make you a great nation. Remember, the last part of the promise was, and also Yosef will put his hand upon your eyes. And we explained before the standard understanding of that is he's going to be there at your deathbed. He's going to outlive you. You're not going to outlive him. But he writes over here, another way to appreciate this is that this promise that I'm giving to you, Hashem said to Yaakov, the promise I'm giving to you that you will thrive and I will be there with you and you will succeed and you will come out and my presence will be there with you and you will be able to rise from the darkest of places, no matter how low you may feel you're afraid you're going to sink to, I will be there with you and take you out of there. Look at Yosef, your son. Look what happened to Yosef. He is the example of that because he descended. He went away for 22 years. He descended into the darkest, darkest, darkest place. He was there in the jail with Ashes Potiphar, with all of the immorality and impurity. And then he was elevated to become the viceroy of Mitzrayim. The influences which were around him, which could have taken him away from his faith, from his belief in Hashem, was just so many, so multiple, multifold types of influences he was exposed to. But he never wavered a moment. He never wavered. He didn't weaken his faith and he came out of it. So look at that. Yosef, Yoshes Yodo Aleinecha. Yosef will put his hand upon your eyes to make you heal. His success, his coming out of this darkness is an example to you. He'll put his hands over your eyes so you can see this as well. So have no fear. Have no fear, Yaakov. And that's what he says. So now go back to the last piece over here. He says, the Torah is eternal. It's a haftacha, shel anochi ered imcha Mitzrayim. It's a promise that I will always be with you, Mitzrayim. This is a promise to the Jewish people as a whole and a promise to every single individual. Shel Yehudi nishlach leredes moilamas alyonim. A Jew, a human being, a Jew is sent down from the upper realms, the sublime worlds, Lolam Hazet, this world of Choshech, this world of darkness. Choshech Anon V'arafel. We're sent down into this world of darkness and occlusion. A Modar Klipas, it's a chamber of spiritual impurities, of Klipas and Yetzahara. The Teshuvasa Amur B'Dvar Hashem LeYaakov. And the response, the counsel, the advice of being in this world of darkness and difficulty are in these words of Hashem to Yaakov, that don't be afraid. And Yosef is the example. Yosef can put his hands upon your eyes to make it clear to you that you have potential. Kamosho Eitzel Yosef, that just like Yosef, you can see that Yosef saw that all of the challenges that he went through were all in order to make him into the great leader that he became, and it was all for the good. Kach Eitzel Kol Yudah, so also with every single one of us. Even if we are troubled and arraigned by all sorts of desires and yetzaharas and influences and distractions, which are so difficult and bitter, Tamid Amedes Leftacha, the promise always stands for you. Sheyehudi Leolam Leyovad, a Yid is never lost. You're never lost, no matter how far off you are, how low you are, you're never lost. And this is the great Musa, which is expressed by, in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishle, he says, the Pasuk says, Musa Hashem b'nei al timas, which the simple translation of this means, that the discipline of Hashem don't reject. That's the simple pshat of the pasuk. Hashem's musa, don't reject Hashem's discipline. That's one pshat. But another pshat is that musa Hashem, b'ni, the discipline of Hashem, the musa of Hashem is, you are my b'ni, you're my child. You're my child. Hashem Yisbarach Omer LeYehuda, Hashem says to the Yid, b'ni, my child. Hey, b'ni hincha, ben amalach, you're my child. You're the son of the king. Al timos, don't dirty yourself. Don't reject yourself. Don't dirty yourself. Al timos es atzmucha, don't sully yourself with things which are not apropos for your elevation, for your greatness, for your majesty. Don't do things which are too low for you. You're my child. You're the son of the king. We're the children of the king. Don't behave in ways which compromise that dignity, that elevation, that stature of ourselves. That's another understanding of it. And the third understanding of the pasuk, he says, is simply, Musa Hashem, the Musa of Hashem is B'nai, you're my child, period. You're my child, and I'm always going to be your father, and I'm always going to be there for you. Be'eshi Yehudi Bali Deisha, so that even if a person comes to a state of despair, Acher Shemis Yageh Kol Kacharbe, after you've worked so hard and you don't seem to change, you don't seem to kind of move anywhere, things don't change, things don't get better. Never give up. Never give up. Musa Hashem is B'ni. The Musa of Hashem is, you're still my child. B'ni Ata Ben Melech, you're still my child. Don't despair. Because in this pasuk, which we're learning today, is the promise from Hashem that sometimes it can be the last moment, the most difficult time, the most rega achron, lo yaneach lo letuvo, Hashem will not leave you to sink and to drown and to disappear completely. And this, of course, also is the promise that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bein HaBesorim, when he said, you are going to be, go down to Mitzrayim, you are going to be afflicted, but eventually you're going to come out with a rechush gadol, with a tremendous wealth. You're going to come out of that darkness with tremendous wealth. Shekol inyan galus Mitzrayim, because the entire darkness, the galus Mitzrayim, the darkness is in order to bring us up, misham, from there, and to bring out from there the netzotzos hakedusha, the sparks of holiness which are latent inside of us. Kach gam b'galus pratz, also in an individual galus, the individual's darkness and exile which we go through, the goal of it all is that we're going to come out with a rechush gadol, with a tremendous wealth. And the message over here is, don't despair, because sometimes it can happen in the last moment. And even in the darkest, hardest places, that's when all of a sudden there can be this revelation of the Shekhinah in the most manifest way, the most intense way, without any compromise, without any dilution. And that's what Hashem told Yaakov, don't be afraid, because I will be there, I'll go down with you, I'll come down and be there with you, I'll come out with you in all of my full splendor and my brightness and my light, and you will become a great nation over there. So that's the message of the Teshez with us, the Slonim HaReb, a beautiful message, and something which we, always hold. These ideas are always relevant, no matter what day of the year, no matter what time. These are just eternal messages of knowing that we have a kesha, this tight connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem loves us, we're his child, he wants to see our success, he wants to bring us close to him, and all we have to do is just don't give up, and always be optimistic, and to know that even if things may be difficult, Hashem still is there with you, with us, and will come down and descend and give us the guidance. That's the point, give us the guidance to move in the right direction and to get to that place which we really want to get to. So may all merit to have that for all of us and for the whole of Klal Yisrael, for the whole world as well.